Okay, so today I have with me, it's Randy Kasten, but as a composer, do you prefer to use G. Randy Kasten, or do you either one?
Oh, Randy is simpler, why don't we go with that?
We have it listed as both in our automated software, so I wanted to, I'll decide which one it is and be consistent from now on. And Randy, you have sent us some pieces that are classical, and I wanted to talk about those pieces first. Let's see, you recently sent us one called An Elmwood Year. Was that created for the year of 2020?
No, that was a piece I wrote several years ago. And the title refers to a place I was living in Berkeley at one point. I was trying to capture the mood of living there.
Okay. And it's a classical piece.
In the classical style, yeah.
Yeah. Who are your influences, musical influences?
You know, I think a lot of the well-known composers, J.S. Bach, Chopin, Mozart, Schubert, and you know, more recently, I really admire Keith Jarrett. Unfortunately, he's been stricken with some medical complications, and Chick Corea, who unfortunately recently died, but both of them were pretty influential and people I admired a great deal.
So you doing something maybe like amalgamating different genres?
I think so, just from listening, yeah.
And I know you have also done some with the, I think it was accompany piano, ACC piano was the title of the piece that you sent us, and it's a sort of a more dissonant sound that you created?
Yeah, that was an acoustic piano piece. That's what the ACC stood for.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sometimes, because I improvise, it's sometimes surprising to me what I end up playing. It might be something totally different than I intend to do when I sit down. And often when I sit down at the piano, I end up playing for about 30 seconds and I realize this is not the time to be doing this. I don't have anything to say right now. And I'll get up and walk away. But other times I surprise myself and do something I actually like. Every once in a while.
And the e-piano, that's an electric piano or electronic piano?
Yeah, that's an electronic piano sound.
Yeah.
Well, I only started, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, this is something I only started playing about 2 years ago. I wanted to get a portable keyboard because I was living somewhere else for a little while, and it was really nice. It turned out to be something I really liked, so it was a nice discovery.
Yeah. And then another piece that I love is the song that you did with your friend David Moulton and Kevin McConnell?
Kevin McConnell, yeah.
The Dreaming About Their World?
Yeah, that's Kevin singing on that song, and that's something I wrote and we all worked on. It was kind of fun.
Is he British?
No, it's funny you'd say that, but
it just sounded a little to me like a throwback to this British invasion music.
Yeah, that is kind of more my songwriting style. But no, Kevin and Dave are not British, neither am I. I lived in England for a year, but I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you live, what your interests are, those sorts of things?
Sure. I'm originally from California. I moved to Washington in 2015 and lived in Tacoma for a little while. I live out in Mason County in Union now. And my career was as a lawyer, which was very different than music, but music was always a nice outlet and release of stress, if nothing else. For the most part, despite that song and others I've done and some collaborating on chamber music, most of what I've done throughout my life, I'm in my 60s now, has been solo piano. I'm just me sitting in the living room playing, and it's been satisfying. I'm not really someone who's gone out and sought audiences very much. And I find it a little odd to even be doing this interview because it's not something I'm particularly used to. But I thought it would be interesting because my approach to music is a little unusual in that I've done very little formal musical study, and I don't see that as a strength. I see that as a tremendous weakness that's kept me from learning a lot of things and doing a lot of things that I might have done otherwise. Maybe to some extent it's allowed me to be a little freer with what I might do if I was feeling constrained by rules and methods and things. But I think for the most part, it's worked against me. But I've always had a strong interest in music. I started playing the piano when I was maybe 4 years old and just really taught myself scales, minor scales, major scales, figured these things out. I took about, I think, 2 or 3 piano lessons when I was pretty young. Hated them, absolutely hated them. And just my parents decided it would be kind of tragic to force me to continue with something I didn't like because I did like playing the piano. I think maybe they were too lenient. I wish sometimes, and I don't mean to blame them, but I do wish I had a better teacher that might have made a difference. There was one particular incident I'm remembering as I think about it, when I was playing some simple piece and my music teacher was sort of sitting in the room but not paying any attention. I just stopped playing for a long time, like a minute or two. It was just a long pause. And she was, I don't know if it was in the modern era, she would have been messing with her phone, I'm sure, but she was grading papers or something. She didn't say anything. And when I finally finished the piece, she asked me what the long pause was about. And of course, being a kid, I said, I don't know. And that was the end of it. And we didn't have any more discussion. But the truth was, I was really depressed. I was just sitting there in complete despair, having to play this notated music. So that was the end of that.
But you continue playing piano on your own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Studied William Blake, and I got a PhD in English, and he was all self-taught. But he read Milton, and he read Dante, and he read the Bible, and his poetry, I think, is really amazing. Mm-hmm. So self-taught people who've listened a lot, that actually produces something different than people who maybe have gone through the system.
It may, yeah. I don't really feel that I had much choice in the matter, but that is what I did. And yeah, I admire somebody like the guy you're talking about, because obviously he was genuinely interested in the material. He wasn't doing it for a reason.
No, William Blake had no financial motivations, and he was always poor. This was he was 18th century poet, but he lived a long time and was happy. That's the goal. And you know, what? I think I teach now at Tacoma Community College, and I've given students some information about the effects of music on our well-being. Is that one of the reasons you play? Because music just makes you feel better, lack of a better way to put it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it doesn't, like I was saying earlier, it doesn't always work. I sometimes sit down and try to play and I really can't. But when it works, it really works, and it makes me feel connected to myself, to the world, to something a little bit beyond, maybe quite a bit beyond just ordinary existence, which tends to be kind of gray and drab a lot of the time, nothing special going on. But when there's that connection, it can feel magical.
Yeah. Another study I had my students look at was about what are called ligands in our bodies. We have serotonin, all those neurotransmitters in our bodies that then connect to receptors so that we feel better. But for some people, if they don't get enough love, say when they're a child, or those ligands don't develop, and so the receptors die, and it's a shame. But music can ring those receptors. Even if people don't have the ligands in their bodies, the neurotransmitters that they need, music can reawaken those receptors. It's a fascinating thing, which helped me understand why so many teenagers run around with earphones, you know, listening to music. It makes them feel better, actually. I think music is such a powerful thing that our culture has sort of understood maybe outside of school, but not within the educational system.
Interesting. Yeah, I think at least my take on it is that music is often just regarded as something, I don't know, frivolous, but certainly extra and something that we don't really need. And you know, that's how it's been treated in schools. And
yes. I think if we give our children music, they will feel much better and would, you know, be better at doing other things too.
Yeah, kids, like you say, I think kids seem to realize that on their own and they seek it out. And it's,
they do. Yeah, I agree. So have you, you've just done individual pieces. You haven't at this point created any albums?
No, I did some songwriting with some other people. That one song you mentioned was an example of it. And we did put together some material and CDs as a group. It was very eclectic because our rule was kind of that everybody could do what they wanted. So the musical styles varied quite a bit from pieces that were, you know, ballads to almost classical to blues. And it's hard to get a handle on what the style was, but yeah, we did some of that.
Well, I think that's wonderful, because I think bringing the different genres together, you know, like some of the musicians you mentioned, you know, melding jazz. John Baptiste, I don't know if you know his work, the guy who's on, mm-hmm. who is he? Stephen Colbert's late night show. But he has done some of that too. That sort of melding of stuff that, you know, used to be in kind of silos.
Yeah.
And when you bring it together, it creates a whole new sound. And I can hear that in your music. You hear those kind of origins, those sources in your music.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What inspires you?
Oh, I think the nice thing about that is that I don't really know. Because in those times when I feel able to create something new or play something, I'm not entirely sure where it comes from, but it's a way of getting in touch with it. And it might be something sad, it might be something joyful, it might be something thoughtful, but it's always something meaningful.
Well, I haven't heard the piece August Lament yet, because I haven't figured out how to use Dropbox. Somebody else can do that, and I'm sure we'll figure it out how to do it before the end of this conversation. But it's called August Lament. Did something happen that created that? Was the inspiration?
No, that wasn't. It wasn't based on any particular thing. That's usually the case for things I've composed on the fly. I'll go back and try to understand really the answer to the question you asked a minute ago, which is what inspired this, and I'll put a title on it or identify a mood with it, but usually there's no particular incident that I can tie it to.
Yeah, well, that seems okay to me. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about music. It doesn't have to have literal meaning. It has an emotive meaning that is much more important for us, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's always made sense to me. And certainly when I hear other people's music, it inspires a lot of feelings that I wouldn't have identified, but are certainly latent, and it just brings them out. I sometimes have trouble listening to music because it'll make me feel sad or something. I really don't feel that way.
So you're primarily the keyboardist in the groups with the other musicians that you play with, it looks like, right?
Yeah.
But you've done a piece with string quartets. I think one of the pieces is a string quartet, is that right?
I've written a number of pieces for string quartets and small ensembles, chamber music. And of course that was challenging because I quickly learned that if you don't play the instrument, it's hard to write for the instrument. So I had to do some studying about orchestration and harmony, and then learning to work with musicians who actually played the pieces. So it was challenging. Realizing that, I mean, things like somebody who's playing a stand-up bass has a very different experience than somebody playing violin. The physical distance they have to move their fingers is much greater, and they have to take a little more time to do it. And I can't write a violin piece for a bass. And it seems kind of simple talking about it that way, sort of obvious, but it wasn't to me at the time.
So during the pandemic, have you had a chance to meet with other musicians?
No, I really haven't, which has been fine because it's not something I have been doing at all recently. The chamber music stuff was really back in the 90s that I did. And the more rock-oriented songs were, even those were 10 years ago. And I miss the camaraderie with other musicians, but at the same time, there's a certain, I won't say tyranny, but certainly a discipline. It was time-consuming and a lot of other things.
Yes, we actually kind of appreciated the slowdown, Louisa and I. We lived next door to each other here in Fircrest. And actually our other sister, another sister, lives around the corner from us. So we had a small group that we were able to quarantine with, but we appreciated slowing things down a little bit, not having quite so much to do.
But you were all in the same bubble, so to speak.
We were, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard other people say that, though, and I experienced it myself, that it was nice to just step back a bit and maybe not feel so compelled to be social all the time. Even though Zoom really helped me.
Yes, us too. We have held all our meetings on Zoom, and we're probably going to continue that because, you know, some people live a little far away and traffic at 6 o'clock is sometimes bad, and for so many reasons. Zoom just is so much easier.
Yeah, and I really like that people seem to have discovered that. I've also run into a few instances of people who really dislike Zoom and feel it's too impersonal. And I can't judge that, but... Just different for people.
Okay, well, how did you find us?
Through Steve and Christy Nibble.
Oh!
Oh,
yeah. They are wonderful people.
They really are. Yeah, they are.
Okay, had no idea you knew them. I have never met them, but one of our members, Marilyn Kimmerling, is very close friends with them. And she brought them to us, and then they brought you to us. So that's great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
Nice. So do you get a chance to listen to Radio Tacoma? I know you're out of our air space, but here I'm, of course, online at our website.
Yeah, you sent me recently the online link, so I haven't tried that yet, but I'm looking forward to that because I was realizing I'm missing out.
Yeah, we air quite a bit of their music. They created a long show for us with notes in between their songs. I think we called it Songs with Notes.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
In our archives? So Josh's interview should be in our archives.
I did send him Josh's interview.
Yeah.
Josh is a very different kind of musician, but he actually lives out on the peninsula, the Key Peninsula, somewhere out that way.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, anything you'd like to add to this before we end for the day?
No, I just wanted to really thank you for the opportunity to have music aired and for talking to me and letting me just use this as a way to think about music and my own playing, my relationship to music. I think it means a lot to me and a lot to other people to just have music in their lives. So.
It does. Yeah, and while we are primarily a talk radio station, most of our talks are actually only a half hour long, and then we spend the next half hour letting people enjoy music. And then now we have Sunday afternoons dedicated to music also, from 1 to 5. So thank you so much. And maybe sometime we'll get to meet you in person. It would be nice to, at some point, have a gathering of at least some of the musicians who we play. You know, maybe even have a concert of the musicians that we play.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, me too. Okay, anything else, please?
Not that I can think of, but, you know, we do need to have, like, a community event again.
Yeah, that would be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I know, also, you have directed us to more musicians, to Walter Rimler, whose song You're Fired is pretty fun. And then to David Molson. He sent me another song recently, too. But we might air it in the half hour after your interview. So generally, when we do these interviews, we air them as Radio Tacoma interviews, which air at noon.
Uh-huh.
So this will take us just a little while to do the editing on for Audacity. So I would guess that if not next week, the following week, it'll air at noon, and we'll send you the link to the archive also.
So great.
That you can listen to it either streaming on our website at noon, or you can listen to it in the archive. We have the archives of all the past interviews.
Okay. Is there a particular day you do them?
Well, we currently air our interviews every day, the same interview daily for a week.
Okay.
And nobody's complained.
Everybody likes publicity.
And so many of the things that we air are so good that it's worth hearing a second or third time. I'm just going to tell you about the sound poetry that Steve Niebel does for us.
Mm-hmm.
He produces that. Yeah, David Gilmore is the host, but all of those sound poetries are in the archive on our website, and I listen to them every night when I can't sleep. Now, don't tell Steve that they put me to sleep. But all through the pandemic, that was the only thing I really wanted to listen to, because the news, the stuff we were airing was kind of bad news.
Yeah.
And I listen to it, of course, but always sound poetry. Even if they're talking about environmental justice issues or racial justice issues, the same sort of stuff, you know, that would be in the news, because it's in poetry. I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happens with music too. You know, we can put the things that are disturbing into music, and we can hear them like they do with nursery rhymes.
Oh, that's, yeah, not true.
Terrible stuff in those nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
Really kids love them. So. Okay, Randy. Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Pam and Luis. Nice talking with you.
And this is signing off, Radio Tacoma Interviews, today with Randy Kasten. Thank you very much.
Thank you.